Bisexual Awareness Week on Pride Radio with NHS Business Service Authority.
It's Bisexual Awareness Week on Pride Radio with our friends at NHS Business Services Authority. And as part of our series of big interviews, I'm delighted to be joined by Carla, who identifies as bi, to tell us her story. Now, first of all, you are bi, aren't you? This is going to be a really short interview.
Yeah, I am.
No, I'm not today, thank you. Bye. They'd be like, all right, okay. When did you first become aware, Carla, that you were bisexual?
So I think I had quite an inkling since I was quite young, actually. Like, I think the first time I sort of became aware that I was different, I would say about maybe 6 or 7, something like that. I mean, at that time, I didn't really know that, you know, my experiences were different, so to speak. You know, at that age, you're not really, you know, clued up on, like, who wants to be with who and such like. And then I think I really started to sort of ask myself these sort of questions and try and, like, figure out who I was when I was about maybe 13 or 14. You know, it's it wasn't an instant thing, you know. I think for a while I knew that I wasn't straight, put it that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it was about from when I was about maybe 7 or 8 until the ages of about, say, about 13, 14, like, I had a lot of sort of self-reflections and trying to figure out, you know, who am I attracted to, who do I feel the most drawn to. And as you can imagine, when you're in a secondary school in the Northeast about 10 years ago, it's not always the easiest thing. But yeah, and so I've identified as bisexual ever since.
Because it's a very natural thing for a young person to do, because, mm-hmm. you know, you have crushes. Mm-hmm. You know, your emotions are all up in the air at mm-hmm. that age.
Yeah.
You know, you are brought up, sadly, with a male and female, mm-hmm. you know, image on television, yeah. etc. That has completely changed now. Mm-hmm. But no, I remember having crushes on boys and crushes mm-hmm. on girls.
Yeah.
And PE teachers and everything, and that's kind of what you do. So, mm-hmm. so when was it at an early age that actually you realised that no, this isn't a phase, as we're always told, or a crush. This is an avenue that you were keen to explore.
Yeah, I think, like I said, like, that was when I was younger, that was the first time I sort of started. You always have an inkling, you know, you're not quite sure exactly how you're different. You just know on some sort of subconscious level that you are. I mean, I remember the first time I ever saw anything that was outside the, you know, the expectation of man and woman put together was, I remember I was about 7 or 8 years old, and my mum and dad were huge EastEnders fans at the time. And oh God, they're going to kill me for saying that. I remember there was there was Sonia, who was quite a big character on EastEnders at the time, and she'd fallen in love with a woman. And I remember it was the first, don't want to say it was the first ever on-screen kiss ever, but it was the first one that I saw, definitely. And, you know, and it was sort of like unexpected, you know, it was like a live episode. And so I was in the room watching that with my mom and dad, and my mom kind of had like a knee-jerk reaction because she didn't see it coming, was like, oh, I've now got to explain this. so she turned to me and she very sort of like said, oh, you know, like, some people like the same. And that was sort of like that conversation over, and I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, oh, okay, like, nothing out of the ordinary. And then I think that was the first time I sort of clocked on that, oh, so men and women aren't sort of the default. And I think when I realised that, it made a lot of other things make a lot of sense, I suppose. And so from then on, because to be honest, I went very back and forth on how I identified, yeah. like, how my sexuality was. Like, I went through, at one point I thought I was gay, and I said, like, yep, definitely gay. And then I would go to, like, nah, I definitely think I'm straight or heterosexual. But I could never sort of decide, like, you know, I could never really put a point on where I was. And so there was a lot of, like, going back and forth. And then it got to a point when I was about maybe 13, 14, and I thought, you know, like, if I'm questioning it this much, I'm clearly not, you know, just one. I'm clearly not just gay. I'm clearly not just straight. And I think at that point, because I'd been questioning it for a while, I was like, I don't think are very clearly fit into one box or the other. And, you know, and I think when you're that age, you know, it is quite normal to sort of like think, even if you do end up, you know, deciding on that you are one identity or one sexual orientation, like eventually, I think it's normal. And that age, you know, you're sort of like trying to find yourself and figure out what it is that you're drawn to. And so at first I was like, oh, maybe it could just be that. But then, you know, like I said, like it persisted for so long. And, you know, just things that I noticed that I was like, yeah, I don't think I do fit neatly into either box. And I think it was then that I realized, like, oh, you know, I think this is me. Like, I think I'm bi. And at that time, there wasn't a whole lot of knowledge or really awareness about it at the time. You know, it was very just either gay or straight. I often had to go out of my way to do my own research. And, you know, the amount of times I Googled, does this make me gay? Does this make me straight? And there was never like a uniform answer.
And
so to speak.
Did you put a lot of pressure on yourself to say, I must be one or the other? Or was it, were you quite chilled and relaxed by it all?
Definitely at first, I definitely think I did put pressure on myself to decide to be one or the other. And then with time, I felt a bit more chilled about it. So for context, like my parents, you know, like never said anything massively homophobic or anything massively prejudiced or anything that would sort of indicate to me that they weren't okay with it. Like, it was just never really talked about. Like, they never really had a strong opinion one way or the other. And so I think when I eventually told my mom and dad that I thought I was bi, that's when the sort of opinions kind of came out, I suppose, because I'd gone away, like I said, and done my own research and did my own sort of self-exploration. And I said, no, like, this is me. And my mom and dad had quite a mixed reactions. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily horrible, but, you know, at the same time, not something that I really expected. Like, my mom was very much sort of, you know, I think you're too young to know what you are, but either way, she wasn't really bothered. And my dad, I think my dad had like a very sort of binary view in his mind of like, you can either be gay or straight. Like, yeah, you can't be in between. And I think, and this is the really frustrating thing, like, my dad is not homophobic in the slightest. Like, he's very pro LGBTQ plus people and rights, but as soon as it came to talking about anything bisexuality wise, it just hit a dead end.
But there's a lot out there on being a lesbian, yeah, and being gay and being trans, yeah, and intersex and queer. Bisexual is kind of one of those foggy areas, yeah, that you know, you do get labelled. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, he's bi, he likes boys, but he likes girls as, yeah, well. And sometimes as well, I mean, I'm a lot older than you, but it was a nice little default, I could, yeah, say. I'm bisexual, knowing full well I was gay, but, yeah, but it still meant that, you know, I was in both camps to, yeah, start with. So it's a grey area, and part of this awareness week is hopefully we can shed some light on it that it isn't. Did you bring up the conversation with family? Because a lot of family do approach their kids and say, you know, are you gay? Mm-hmm. Are you lesbian? They never come to you and say, are you bi?
Yeah.
You know, did they come to you and what was that reaction when you said, I'm actually bisexual?
Yeah.
Did they know what it meant?
They did know what it meant. I just think, you know, then as is now, there is so many misconceptions around it. And because, like you said, there's not that much thorough information about bisexuality like there perhaps is for other identities and sexualities. They did sort of didn't really know what to make of it. And I think at first they did sort of hope, like, oh, it's just a phase. And, you know, I think they were at the back of their heads were probably thinking, oh, she'll probably, you know, grow and realise that she's straight or that she's gay. But the way they never approached me, my dad always said, we always knew that there was something different, but we couldn't put a finger on exactly what it was. And so I remember hearing that and thinking, like, well, you know, this is clearly just who I am, you know, like it's been in me since birth. But the way I even got talking to them about it was because I didn't have the best experience at school. Like, I told a close friend, you know, like I officially like came out to like a close friend and a couple of other people and said, yeah, like, you know, this is who I am. Like, I think I've realised that I'm bi. And a lot of them on the surface, like most of them were, yeah, like that's cool. You know, a lot of kids that, because this was sort of like a time where LGBTQ plus rights and people were sort of having more exposure. So it was starting, you know, attitudes were slowly changing. So a lot of them were like, you know, like that's completely fine. Like it doesn't change who you are. And sadly, one of them let their mouth run a little bit, mm-hmm. and you know, and slowly everyone found out, and I wasn't ashamed of it, like at all, you know, like I was very comfortable in, you know, this is who I am, you know, and not everyone's going to get it, but I feel okay in that, and which is why I am sort of as open about it as I am. But at the time, you know, I think I was a little bit naive in thinking that everyone was going to be cool with it. Like there was, you know, like I said, like attitudes were changing, but quite a few people, even my own age, weren't at that point yet. And so, you know, I'd get all of the typical biphobic comments that you hear about. It was very like, you know, I'd go into the girls' changing rooms at PE and, you know, and you'd always get like the girls that would sort of like get changed around the corner because they think I was looking at them. And, you know, something like that wouldn't have even entered my head. And you get like guys who were being like, oh, well, does that mean like you've got like both, like you've got like men and women on the go? And so,
oh, you're greedy.
Oh, yes.
that's the obvious one that I always use. Oh, you're just greedy, you. Well, yeah, I'm starving, you know. Yeah. But I'm not that hungry for you, love, you know, toodle on.
Oh, no, I totally get that. Like 100%. And this is the thing, like at the time, like I wasn't even like, you know, in a relationship, you know, I wasn't really after anyone. I was just like, right, I want my GCSEs done. That's about it. Like thought hadn't even entered my head. And then it was almost like people were putting these like misconceptions on me. And I was just a bit like, well, hang on, I haven't said that. You know, I've made no indication that that's the case. Yeah. And so because of that, you know, it wasn't a great time school. Like kids can be vicious, like you know, there's, and I think a lot of people almost like deflect a lot of the time, like if they're perhaps like if this is something that they've never heard about before or they're unsure in themselves, they you know, it's not a great experience like at all for, I mean, things are starting to change now, but at the time it was very like hit and miss. Like when you like sort of tell someone that you're bi, it was very like there's a 50-50 chance they could either be okay with it or not be great. And so as a result of that, because I went through a lot at school, I then had to tell my mom and dad, you know, like what was going on, because they knew that something was going on at school. And so I said, right, okay. Like it almost came out in an argument because they were like, well, tell us like what's going on at school so we can fix it. And in my head, I wasn't ready to tell them. And then eventually I just had to sort of go, right, okay, this is it, you know. And so it wasn't a great reaction at first.
What was the support from school?
I mean, none.
Did they have any LGBT groups there, or was there any support within the school? You know, the odd poster on a hall saying, if you're having trouble with your sexual identity, why not go see the drama teacher? Because they're always, or the art teacher.
The drama teacher.
was there any ray of light at school that you could, because I know some schools now have counselling services, that you could approach, or did you feel very isolated?
No, I did feel very isolated. Like, and this is the thing, at the time, there were quite a few out gay people, you know, like, and lesbians as well. But you know, I remember looking at these people who were out and they got bullied like horrifically, and so I used to look at them and think, well, if they're being bullied for being gay or lesbian, then God knows how they're going to react to me being bi, because it's not something that was as known of at the time. And but there was definitely no LGBTQ plus specific counselling or support. You know, there were school counsellors and, you know, we had sort of the pastoral team and like support staff and things like that, but nothing LGBTQ plus specific. And because at the time I was getting a lot of sort of, because when you're that age, you're quite influenced by other people's opinions and what other people have to say. And so I think I did internalise a lot of things that people would say, like including like my family being like, oh, well, you're too young to know, like, oh, you're just confused or you're just greedy. And, you know, like when you're that age and you're wanting to look for support, you know, that's not the sort of thing that you want to hear from the person that's meant to be supporting you. And so, you know, a lot of the school counsellors and the support staff at school at the time were around about the same age as my mom and dad. And so I was thinking, yeah, like they're just not going to get it. You know, like I could come to them and say, this is what I'm struggling with. But how do I know that they're not going to turn around and be like, oh, well, it's just a phase. Like, oh, well, you're too young to know and things like that. And I think I definitely would have had a much better time at school in general. Like if I'd not only had that sort of access to LGBTQ plus support services in school, but even like you said, like even if there were posters like talking about, you know, are you having trouble with your sexuality and things like that, I think even just like people who aren't LGBTQ plus could probably look at that and think, oh well, this is normal, you know, like the school's, you know, talking about this and advertising, therefore it's nothing to be ashamed of. And I think kids a lot of the time, regardless of their opinion, sort of go along with whatever other kids are doing, even if they disagree with it. So yeah, like nothing at all compared to now.
So there's nothing at school. It was all new to you. You'd seen a couple on TV as a kid, you know, having a kiss. The natural thing, therefore, is to go online because you're of the generation where, you know, the social media and so on. Was that helpful or was it a minefield in itself to get information to support your life decision?
It was a bit of both, to be honest. Like, I think a lot of people my age will remember that Tumblr was a huge thing back in the day. I don't know.
I don't even remember Tumblr. I'm that old. I remember a tombola where you used to, you know, win a prize. Yeah. But go on, Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. I think most people I know that are around my age, like, remember Tumblr as, like, this. It was, like, the first ever platform that anyone that was not necessarily LGBTQ+, but anyone that was remotely outcast in any way, like hipsters or alternative people, would go on Tumblr and find all sorts of things on there. And I remember I had a Tumblr account, and then when I was going through it, I was like, oh, I wonder what will happen if I type in bisexual or LGBT, as it was known at the time. And I often found that there was so much more support online, like from people like I'd never met, like in Tumblr, for example, because loads of kids, you know, like my age and who'd had similar experiences were going to Tumblr because that was the only place people knew to find other people like them. And so that was like a huge, you know, like a huge support. And I think people who were on Tumblr at that time are now a lot further forward in terms of LGBTQ plus rights and acceptance because we were exposed to it like at such a young age. But apart from Tumblr, if you were to Google, you know, bisexuality or anything like that, you'd come up with like
some colourful websites, I would imagine.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You would get the odd a lot of the articles that you would find would be like, oh, how to know if you're gay, how to know if you're a lesbian. There was nothing to say. You'd get the odd one, like maybe the odd Huffington Post article that was like, how to know that you're bi. But even then, it was a very sort of...
I'd love to know how that is. Is it like you put a buttercup underneath your chin and if it goes yellow, you're bisexual? You know, how do you know? You know, it's a strange thing, isn't it?
Like a bisexual litmus test almost. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was, and that's the thing, like, I think had, because at the time, you know, things are changing now, but at the time it was this very sort of binary way of thinking, like, you're either gay or you're straight, like, there's no sort of in between. So, like, you'd find the odd article that would talk about, yeah, how to know if you're bi, but even then there was a lot of focus on being attracted to men and women equally. Like, there was nothing about bisexuality being a bit more fluid thing. You know, you could be attracted to one more than the other. You might experience romantic attraction for one more than the other. You know, it was a very sort of to, it was almost like a guide on how to be a quote unquote good bisexual, you know, like, you know, it was very like,
there's a Netflix series, oh, God. The Bad Bisexual. They come out at night and they steal from you. They steal your washing off the line and disappear. The Bad Bisexual.
Oh, dear. No, like for sure. Like, I think, and at the time, like, it was quite a scary thing. I was almost like, well, if this is who I am, you know, I'm out as bisexual. Like, how do I almost be a good bisexual? Is there one way of being bisexual? And so in my head, I was almost like, well, if I'm attracted to more than one gender, then, you know, does that mean I have to have, you know, 50-50 male partners and female partners? Does my attraction to them have to be exactly the same? You know, and it was very like a cut and dry, like, oh, if you're attracted to more than one gender, you know, this is who you are. Like, there was never any sort of elaboration on that. It was never sort of like, you know, it wasn't massively nuanced, and, you know, there wasn't a great lot of elaboration on those sorts of articles like there perhaps was with the gay or lesbian or the trans articles. But and you know, in those, and gay, trans and lesbian people all absolutely deserved that, you know. It's just at the time, you know, when you're trying, when there is that pressure of, you know, trying to put yourself in that box of, am I gay or am I straight? And the only thing that you see online is how to tell that you're gay. Like, it is quite confusing, because you think, I want to be true to who I am, but at the same time, like, am I only going to be accepted if I'm gay? Like, if I just say that I'm gay?
Yeah. Or is it easier?
Yeah. And there's a lot of times that, you know, over the years, even when I was in my late teens, like, I did start to think, like, would it not just be easier, you know, just to come out and say that I'm gay? Because, you know, my parents and, like, most of my family weren't homophobic at all. Like, a lot of them said, you know, if you're gay, like, just tell us. And so, and I had that message so much that I almost put that pressure on myself. And, you know, you almost like gaslight yourself into thinking like, oh, well, like, maybe I am attracted to like one over the other and things like that. But like over time, like, it just never sort of, you know, left, you know. And it's a very, like, and I'm not the only like bisexual person who have gone through this, you know. Like, I have quite a few.
You mean there's more of you?
Oh, sadly, yes.
I'll have to look at this Tumblr.
Well, if you want more than one Carla floating around, then that's a place to go. But yeah, you know, like, I know other people who've, you know, been out as bisexual for a while, and people that have only just recently come out as bi. And every single one of them has said, it would just be so much easier if we just said that I was straight, or just say that I was gay. And I think nowadays, I think that sort of attitude has a lot to answer for, where bisexual people choose to only date one gender just because it's easier just to say, yeah, like, I only date women, like, I only date men, you know, I only date, like, you know, whichever gender identity you are. Like, it's a lot easier just to say, like, oh yeah, I'm this, as opposed to saying like, oh, I'm bi. Because usually when you outright say it to someone, oh, I'm bi, there's usually like a million and one questions, and people want to know, like, oh, so like, how does this work and how does this work? Whereas, you know, if I've often noticed that a lot of my other gay colleagues, they'll say, oh, I'm gay, and then people just accept it.
Yeah.
And there's no further question. It's just like, oh, okay, you might get the odd good for you.
I find that really interesting, because it's almost like bi people are closeted to be themselves. It's easier. The first time I'm ever going to say this, it's easier to be gay, or it's easier to be lesbian, or easier to be trans, or whatnot. Actually, you know, don't admit being bi.
Yeah.
You know, it's. Do you think that now there's more people coming? You know, we see sports stars; they come out as lesbian and gay, etc. But we have had quite a lot of celebrities of late that have come out as bi. Do you see that as part of the conversation? That's a positive step forward, because the more people who are, you know, fluid with their sexuality, the more people don't ask 1,000 questions.
Yeah. No, I definitely see that as a good thing. And I think, you know, representation, like, in form of, like you said, like, sports stars coming out and saying that they're bi, or famous people in any industry sort of coming out and say that they're bi, like, that representation is such, you know, a huge thing for bi people. And I don't think people who are perhaps not in the community realise, like, how much of a huge thing that is, because I think a lot of people who mean well but are outside of the community almost see it and go like, oh, well, yeah, you know, like they don't really have an opinion on it either way, and they don't realise like how much of a huge thing that is for someone who's bi or someone who's questioning their sexuality to see. And, you know, say 10, 20, even 30 years ago, bi erasure was such a huge thing. Like, two of my musical heroes growing up was Freddie Mercury and David Bowie, both bisexual men who were erased in very different ways. You know, like Freddie Mercury was quite clearly in love with a woman and was in a committed relationship to a woman and left her everything in his will, you know. And but just because he was your stereotypical flamboyant gay man, like that was the way, you know, he was perceived back then. You know, like his attraction to women was never even taken into account. It was just like, yeah, he's gay. And because of the sad circumstances that he died of as well, it's very automatically, yeah, he was a gay man. But, and, you know, if you look back at interviews and sort of stuff like that, he never once says, you know, I am a gay man. Mm. I am only attracted to men. The only time he ever says anything remotely like that is when he goes like, oh, I'm as gay as Christmas, darling. Yeah. But even then, like, using the word gay back then was almost
happy.
It was almost the way that we use the word queer today. Yeah. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean only gay. It just means, you know, different. And then, you know, because...
And certainly David Bowie was, you know, the pinup model, you know, for the bi community and for almost gender fluid people because he morphed character and he morphed identity all the way through. Married a man, you know, married women, had kids, but also had this wonderful other life.
Yeah, for sure. And I think because David Bowie was married to a woman twice, you know, that in no way sort of erase the fact that he'd had relationships with men in the past. And so I think almost the opposite thing happened with David Bowie. It was like David Bowie got the straight cookie cutter and Freddie Mercury got the gay one, even though they weren't. And very odd.
I'd love to see that cookie cutter bite.
Buy cookie cutter. Coming to a supermarket near you. And so like it, because like there were different sort of, you know, their sort of sexuality presented itself in different ways, you know, like Freddie Mercury was, you know, in the spotlight, primarily had relationships with men, and, you know, David Bowie was married to women and primarily had, as far as I know, in the public eye, had relationships with women. And so it was very quick to like, no, one's gay and one's straight, when like that's not the case at all. And I think had bi erasure not been such a big thing at the time, if there had been more representation around Freddie's or David's sexuality, I think so many more people would have spoken up back then and said like, no, I am bi, I'm not just straight, I'm not just gay. Like, and it's a huge thing, you know, like when you're growing up and the only relationships that you sort of see are just a man and a woman, like you start to think, well, if I don't want that, then I must be outside of what society wants, you know, I'm outside of the norm. And so, you know, and you know, when you're a child, like when you're growing up, like your mind's like a sponge, you know, like if you only see men and women in the media, on screen, like in just everyday life, you think, you know, that's the expectation of me, like that's the norm. And but, you know, like when I was starting to get into my teen years and there were more you know, like men with men relationships or female and female relationships, it was so much of a, you know, like, and it might not seem like a big thing to others outside the community, but you almost look at it and think, oh my god, that's me, like I'm reflected in the media, maybe I'm not so different, you know. So I think it's an amazing thing. And you know, and it's not just athletes and famous people coming out as bi, we've got a lot more bi representation in you know, like TV shows, like on like Netflix, for example. We had Adam Groff in Sex Education, and that was such a huge, you know, like when I watched that, you know, I was so happy, like just to see that, you know, finally there's at least something. And the way that they handled it was amazing as well. And then you had like Oberyn Martell in Game of Thrones, as a massive Game of Thrones fan, you know, like it was just, and even though it might seem like a tiny thing, like it just made like my heart sing. And I was like, finally, like this is becoming like a thing that other people can see, you know, maybe I'm not so different.
We're going to have such a House of Dragons chat after this.
100%.
There was a study that came out a couple of years ago by YouGov, and they interviewed 16 to 24-year-olds, interviewed 2,000, and they asked them how they identified, and 49% said bi.
Wow.
That's astonishing. Now, I imagine that, you know, there's a bit of vogue, you know, it's in fashion, I'm bi, you know, look at me, you know, next week I'm a lorry driver and the week after I'm a vegan, you know, and those numbers, you know, will come in and out. But even if you discounted 50% of that, which you shouldn't, but even if you did, that's still a large amount of young people who feel confident enough to answer a question and identify, you know, as bisexual. Do you think there is a change through media representation and through information that's readily available and podcasts like this, where younger people are feeling more comfortable and more confident to express and to go on a different adventure than what conforming to the norms, in inverted commas, would push them down?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think, you know, with all of this new sort of, like, representation and all of this, you know, new, you know, like a lot more people being very open about it, you know, and this is the thing, it's not just celebrities, it's not just famous people, you know, like it has a knock-on effect on when there's just people around you that'll come out and say like, oh, I'm bi as well, you know, like I didn't necessarily have that when I was a teenager, but like as I've gotten older, a lot more, I almost felt like the token bi person, you know, like I was the, you know, it's like, if you want to come out as bi, you tell Carla about it because she's the only one that's
actually...
She knows
everything. She knows everything about it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think as well, like, you know, it's not just been outside of the community. Like, sadly, you know, like we've had challenges that we face inside the community as well. You know, like not everyone, like... you know, is necessarily, because I think like when you're almost like, we're almost seen as like half oppressed, you know, because we're almost like quote unquote half gay, and it's like, you know, and so like
you can only come on the Pride March halfway and then you have to stand at the side and cheer the rest.
Yeah, exactly, you can only become at the beginning, not the end. Yeah, like I think it's just and you know, I think a lot of it is just down to misinformation and like misconceptions. Like I genuinely at heart don't believe that anyone is born ignorant or intends to be ignorant or has any bad intentions. I just think because that representation and that awareness hasn't been around as long as perhaps gay awareness has been, it does lead to a lot of misconceptions on us. So I think with all of this new awareness and all of this new knowledge and like you said, like representation is coming to light, it definitely is influencing a lot more people to be open, not just like to their family, but to their friends as well. You know, like I think a lot of bi people who know that they're bi deliberately censor themselves and like stay in the closet, as it were, just because like they don't want to have that difficult conversation of having to explain everything. But I think now that a lot more people are coming out, like I said, non-famous people and famous people are like a lot of people who are my mom and dad's generation perhaps are starting to see, it's like, oh, well, you know, it's becoming so much more normalised, therefore it must be normal. You know, I think a lot of people react to their environment and they look to society and they look at what's going on around them to tell them what's normal and what's accepted or not. So now that there is so many more people exploring their sexuality and being open, you know, like that definitely travels upwards throughout the generations, and you know, and it doesn't just have an impact on the people who are struggling to come out and exploring the sexuality, but it has on their family, on their friends, on their workplaces. You know, it's a knock-on effect, and it's amazing that we're starting to see that on a much larger scale now.
So we've got in September Bi Awareness Week and Bi Visibility Day. Are they important days to you? Is it just another day to sell a card that says Happy Bi Day, you know, and there's some flowers? Or do you take comfort that there is a week like this, that an employer like NHS Business Services Authority are getting behind it, that there is a conversation? I mean, is this a useful week as a young guy, bi person to have a conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, so I'm the one of the co-chairs of the LGBTQ plus colleague network at the NHS Business Services Authority, and I only joined the network as a member about a year and a bit ago, and
now you're co-chair.
And I am.
Doesn't surprise me, Carla.
Oh, thank you.
I've only had two words in this conversation so far, but that's good. That's what I like.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, like I started just because, you know, like I really wanted to be more open about my identity in the workplace. I just didn't necessarily know how to have that conversation. You know, it's not something that you typically bring up in like a budget meeting, for example, you know. Like, by the way.
Yeah. By the way.
By the way. So I joined like just to see what it was about, and I didn't know anyone else in the workplace that I knew of that was LGBTQ+. So I joined just to see, you know, if there were any other people who shared the same experiences as I did. And then when I joined, you know, a lot of the people that I first met were primarily gay, like from what I remember, or trans or non-binary, you know. Like I don't think I met another bi person until maybe a few months afterwards. And I didn't even know the bi visibility day was a thing until like I joined the network. And then it was last September that you know, one of the other co-chairs said that we're doing this. And you know, me as a bi person, I didn't even know that this day existed. So if that doesn't say something about bi visibility, I don't know what does. And it was nice because, you know, like in the network you get a lot of chances to talk about you know, being LGBTQ+. I think when you say that you're LGBTQ+, a lot of people just assume gay or trans.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily think bisexual. And so when that day came around, I was very like, oh my God, like this is a day for me, you know, like specifically for people like me. And it was just a kind of validation that I didn't really know I could feel, you know, and it was a huge thing. And it was just so nice to see how so many other colleagues, like within the network, but also outside of the network, you know, we had a lot of people from the leadership team, you know, quite senior leaders in the organization came along as well. And it's just so nice to know that like people quite high up in the organization look at you and think, yeah, you're valid, like you're cool, you know, and it's not seen as a big thing. Whereas I was always, like growing up, I was always like, I can't mention to anyone at work that I'm this, like, you know, because I'm scared of what they'll think. And so, you know, being part of an organisation that is so focused on illuminating the experiences of bi people is such a huge thing. Like we had Bi Visibility Day last year that we celebrated. This year we're doing Bi Awareness Week. And the fact that we've gone from doing just a day to a week just shows like how much momentum there is in the organisation and how much colleagues really do want to know more about it and want to be more educated on it, which I think is a great thing. You know, it just means so much to me, you know, like as a staff member in the organisation to know that, like, you know, your experiences are valued and like people actually want to hear from you. You know, they don't just want to sort of tick a box that says, yep, we have one bi person in this team. You know, like they actually want to listen to your experiences. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I just think it's amazing that I feel so lucky to work in an organisation that wants to put that spotlight on the experiences of people like me. So yeah, it's a huge thing.
What would you say to somebody listening to this who may be questioning their sexual identity, not just a young person? Because I think it's really interesting that a lot of older people will be listening to this who might have gone down a mixed sex relationship, but might have always thought, oh, you know, I could be gay, I fancy men, or I could be a lesbian, I fancy women. But actually, you don't have to label yourself like that. What would you say to those people? And is there any kind of pointers that you would put people? You know, would you say go to a group and talk, go onto your Tumblr or equivalent and talk to people?
Yeah.
Or what would your advice be?
My advice would be, so a huge thing for me when I was sort of questioning my sexuality is find, if you can, other people like you. If you're lucky enough to work in an organisation which does have an LGBTQ+ network, like absolutely talk to them. You don't necessarily have to join them, but you know, many people in these networks, all they want to do is to make other people feel safe and feel valid, you know. And even if you're questioning it and then you end up thinking, oh no, I am the identity that I originally thought I was, even just having the conversation is such, you know, an essential thing. You know, like the fact that you actually gave yourself the chance to self-reflect is a big thing. Like, it's a brave thing. And I think sometimes as well, like we tend to get so bogged down with like, am I gay, am I straight, am I this, that we don't stop to listen to ourselves and reflect. Like, it's really hard to sort of put yourself in isolation, like in your own bubble, and think like, right, scrap what everyone else thinks, what am I, you know? And so, and don't get me wrong, if you want to go on Tumblr, then that's absolutely
does
a valid
still
thing.
Exist?
It does still
I don't
exist.
Know. Other websites and social media platforms are available, of
yeah,
course.
Of course. But yeah, like, I think, I mean, go on Tumblr if you want. Like, I can't promise it's going to be the exact same experience now than what it was 10 years ago. Bi Pride, like, you know, like, I didn't even know that Bi Pride was a thing until last year. And, you know, I would absolutely, you know, check that out and go along if you can. You know, there's a brand new Bi conference just called BiCon. And that's an amazing thing as well. Like, if you're lucky to work in an organisation that, you know, is really supportive of bi people's experiences, like, you know, like, start that conversation, say like, is this something the organization can take part in, is this something that if I go to you would like support me, and just know that you know, like, things are changing. I know that that's sort of a hard thing to absorb sometimes. You know, I think we do get it's very easy to sort of keep yourself in that, like, oh, no one's going to accept it, and you know, and I've been there before, and it's a scary place to be in, but you know, so many people, like, there's so many kind people out there who just want the best for you. And, you know, even in the workplace, if there's someone, if you have like a work mom in the workplace, like what I do, you know, find someone that you trust, like, even if they're not in the community, even if they're not LGBTQ+, sometimes the anticipation of something is often worse than the thing itself, I've noticed. And sometimes when, you know, you take the first step and you're vulnerable with someone, that you often find they're vulnerable with you. And, you know, like, it's just so that's what I would say. I would say find resources online. So whether that's Tumblr, whether it's Bi Pride, whether it's Bi Con,
be careful when typing in bisexual
yeah,
at work.
Of course. Yeah. Don't do that on your work computer. I must admit I've made that mistake.
But really, talk to people. You're not alone.
Yeah,
and that's the big message, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And you'd be surprised how many people are accepting and just want you to be happy. Like, I often make that mistake. Like, in my brain, I'm often like, if someone's not outwardly accepting, or if someone hasn't explicitly said, I am pro LGBTQ+, you know, in my head, I often think, oh, well, I assume that that person mustn't be. And I think a lot of time, people who aren't in the community, the only reason that they don't say anything is because in their head, it's not a big deal. You know, it's not necessarily that they're anti, you know, LGBTQ+ or anything like that. They just genuinely don't see it as a big deal, which is a good thing, you know, because I know to us, like, our identity is a big deal to us, but to everyone else, you know, often they just see you as you, you know. And there's so many people, like, in my team at work who know that I'm bi, I'm very openly bi, and not one person has said anything. And, you know, it's just, and I often get comments like, oh, you're so brave to be doing what you're doing. Like, it's such a big thing to put yourself out there. And I just think, if I could just help one person, you know, feel more comfortable in themselves by doing things like this, then I will happily, you know, do that anytime, because I wish that I'd had this sort of visibility and this kind of support when I was going through that when I was younger. So if I can do anything to help someone who's in the same position that I was, and, you know, ensure that no one went through what I did, like, you know, like, I will die a happy woman, like, 100%. And, you know, and I feel so lucky that I'm in this organization where I can do all of these amazing things and make a difference to people, even if it is just indirectly.
Well, Carla, it's been fascinating talking to you. We've covered Game of Thrones, strange cookies and bad bisexuals. So there's a new series that we're going to write. More information on Bi Awareness Week is available on the Pride Radio website.
Bisexual Awareness Week on Pride Radio with NHS Business Service Authority.